Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey folks, Hannah here. I'm jumping into your feed before today's episode to let you know that I have a brand new YouTube show called Making Worlds. Monthly episodes are released on our Witch Please Productions Patreon, and they are an absolute hoot. Every episode, I am joined by a cool guest to talk about a sci-fi or fantasy text that has inspired them to move differently in the world and to imagine otherwise. Our first episode was about Our Flag Means Death, and our second episode is about Dimension 20. I am a huge nerd about both of those franchises, so as you can imagine, I had the time of my life. You can watch the episodes or listen to them as a podcast right now by becoming a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/awitchplease. You'll also get access to a backlog of many other perks. Again, head to patreon.com/awitchplease to become a supporter today for as little as $5 a month.
Hello and welcome to Witch Please, a fortnightly podcast about the Harry Potter world. I'm Hannah McGregor. And today, with Marcel out of town teaching her baby hippogriff to hunt dinosaurs, I'm bringing you another mini-sode. In our last episode, you heard us speaking with Dr. Derrett Mason's children's literature class at the University of Calgary. While we were there, we also had the great pleasure of giving a public lecture on feminist fandom, public pedagogy, and podcasting. As part of this lecture, Marcel prepared two short audio montages to give the audience a feel for the podcast. We present those mashups today, both because Marcel did an amazing job and they sound super cool, and because they might be a good way to get your friends and family hooked on Witch Please if they aren't already. So give them a listen, share widely, and meet me back here in about 15 minutes.
Hello and welcome.
Hello and welcome.
Hello and welcome.
Hello and welcome to Witch Please, a fortnightly podcast about the Harry Potter world. I'm Hannah McGregor.
And I'm Marcel Cosman. And today we're talking about the third novel.
And in this episode, we're bringing you the second half of our discussion. We are at last bringing you part one of our discussion of the sixth book. But before we can sneak into the kitchen and foment revolution, let's get ourselves organized in the sorting chat. A special thanks goes out to our listener, Matthew Domville, for renaming this segment for us. We do love a good pun here at Witch Please.
So I want to talk about reproductive rights and reproductive health care.
We have a couple of things to talk about in this segment. And the first and most important is obviously the revelation that the thing that puts out lights is still called a put-outer.
Our second segment is Flourish and Blots, in which we bring a book historical and materialist perspective to our reading of Harry Potter.
That is, I have the first three books in hardcover. I feel I have all the books in hardcover. I'm very fancy.
Like, I'm realizing right now that we didn't even start the segment off by being like, we're not actually going to talk about our own relationship with the books, which is what we normally do in the segment. Sorry. We just like launched right into being like, here's what's going on with Prince in this book. And it is so exciting. Let me tell you about it.
I'll just keep things on your level. So I really like kitties. I really like wine.
Yep.
And I really like resisting the version of reality offered to me by narrators occupying positions of power.
Just like three of my favorite things.
All right, nerds, take out your close reading glasses because it's time for The Boy Who Narrated, in which we demonstrate just how little we trust anything a man tries to tell us by just... But I could use some advice from some quality teachers. So let's head to potions class and talk about pedagogy at Hogwarts.
They're nonverbal, so he thinks the words in his head and is able to actualize those in magic. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we can think about those in relation to the way in which ideology functions at the core of language.
Lockhart is such a painful metaphor for the academic star system.
Absolutely.
This overblown, self-involved white man who has published 7 books that are in fact all about the same thing, that are just rehashing the same thesis over and over again.
Welcome to the Forbidden Forest. It's the section where I interrupt Hannah's intros and tell you about the jokes that I was trying to make while she was introducing what we're talking about. Otherwise known as the section in which we discuss bodies and what power does to them.
Mm-hmm. That is a system that is dispossessing you because the government does not want you to be politically radical. It wants you to consent to the status quo because that is how it maintains power. The universities in Canada that have been built since the 60s actually have architectural features that have been designed to make it impossible for students to physically gather in space together. Because just like Umbridge, your universities did not want you.
And for those of us who read between the lines and understand that she's been carried off by a group of sexual predators, that's disgusting. Like, that's horrendous that they like make a joke about how scared she is.
Wait, I've finally figured it out. I know what can make me happy again. Do you know what it is? It's Granger Danger. And it's like Hermione just knows this thing about Ginny that none of Ginny's brothers know, because none of Ginny's brothers have been taking her seriously, whereas Hermione and Ginny obviously have this friendship where they tell each other stuff and take each other seriously as a couple of super rad young women. And I find that really exciting.
Molly Weasley does a lot of the cooking and the preparing and the feeding and the caretaking, the emotional labor. She does all of the emotional labor. And similarly, we have Sirius, who we know to be locked in that house because he can't go out. He can't, therefore, do anything, quote unquote, useful. And so Sirius ends up being required to do all of the types of labor that we just expect Molly Weasley to do. And that she does. And she does it without being a f***ing about it.
We just see this first moment where Hermione really starts to become a critical, resistant reader. And that's because she's becoming a politicized subject. Mm-hmm. You then take that anger and instead of turning it against the patriarchy, which is what you should do, mm-hmm. you turn it against women who are thriving under that system. At last, dear listeners, it is time for final revisions.
Final revisions.
Final revisions.
You must complete some final revisions.
Okay, I'm going to ask you this question first because it's the most important question. If we have time, I'll add one more. Why does Harry see Thestrals for the first time in the beginning of this book?
So what I want to know, Hannah McGregor, is how do I know that you were Hannah McGregor?
Is transfiguration applied physics?
Right. And my question is, are wands... Yes.
I love when this whimsical Harry Potter podcast is full of troubling and disturbing conversations.
It's about to get real. I love the idea of a parody character named Malfoy who is just always around the corner instead of sneering is like, hey.
He's always holding a fan half over his face and gazing at you over it.
Mother says I shouldn't talk to you. You're a mudblood.
No! Oh no, Malfoy! Hello and welcome to Witch Please, a fortnightly podcast about the Harry Potter world. I'm Hannah McGregor.
I'm Marcel Cosman.
And I'm Neil Barnholden.
Good reading of punctuation, Neil. Today we're discussing the second film in the Harry Potter series.
Today we have a very special guest joining us in the Witch Please studios, the winner of our sign-off contest, Neil.
Yay. Back by popular demand, it's esteemed guy who actually has a film studies degree, Neil Barnholden.
And today we're bringing you a tragically Neil-free movie episode.
Today we're bringing you a delightfully Neil-filled movie episode about the sixth movie in the Harry Potter franchise, 2009's Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Hey, Hannah, do you want to tell everybody about your voice so that they know why you sound so sexy today?
Want me to explain? I've just decided it's time that we change the tone of Witch Please up a bit.
You know what's just about the only thing more exciting than authoritarian bureaucrats? Professor time with Marcel!
I have flagged a handful of things in Linda Hutchins' second edition of her Theory of Adaptation, published by Routledge. I won't read the whole thing, obviously, but you should definitely read it and study it and learn from it forever.
If only one of us were a film scholar. What are those cuts called?
I have a degree in film.
The camera
yes.
closes in?
It's an iris in.
And then, is
and
it
then an iris out?
Out
yes.
Okay, so oh he God. Uses... Neil has a degree in film.
Done.
We literally just finished watching this movie 20 minutes ago. And my first impression of it was, like, somebody has taken all of the scenes from the book that are, I guess, the most popular or the most important, and just strung them together with no particular concern to creating any sort of artistic hole or narrative hole.
Hey, Neil. I just realized we don't actually know what house you're in. Shh. Don't tell us. We'll find out in The Sorting Ceremony, the segment in which we discuss Michael Gambon's inexplicable acting choices and other issues of casting and performance.
Like, the fact that he hasn't read the books still is just so apparent.
Could be anything. Most commonplace of objects.
They could be tin cans, which is precisely the opposite. Because Book Dumbledore is like, no, I've been thinking about this and researching this for years.
Michael Gambon... Oh. Like, ad-libbed that scene?
I think so. I think he was just like, why don't know what we're going to do? And then he like, throws these two horcruxes that they had, like...
Ring, for example? Or a book?
Like, he has two horcruxes because he's got the diary that was the horcrux and is destroyed, and he's got the ring that was the horcrux that he destroyed, which is why he's got his blackened hand. So he knows that there's more than one, but then he's like, well, it could be seven! Except that we know that there can't be seven because one of those pieces of Voldemort's soul has to be in his body. So, like, there's four more. It's worse than I thought.
This is beyond anything I imagined.
It's ridiculous.
I think Staunton, as she represents Umbridge, the things that make her uncomfortable as a character aren't this sort of, like, toad-like ugliness. It's actually the way that she fully embodies the kind of normativity that is violent in this book.
So you get David Tennant to act out the scene and then have Brendan Gleeson do an impression of David Tennant acting
yes!
out the scene.
It feels to me distinctly like Michael Gambon is in his own movie that is not the same movie that anybody else is in.
It's quite clear that he is in fact an astoundingly evil wizard, or that he aspires to be.
I can make bad things happen to people who are mean to me. can make them hurt.
There's nobody here to talk about camera angles, zooms, shot lengths, frames, but we can sure as hell talk about how bad those centaurs look.
Oh. That mysterious new Defense Against the Dark Arts teacher is looking a little scruffy. We should probably take him to Madame Malkin's Props for All Occasions and have a chat about the importance of costume sets and special effects.
I, for one, would like to know how sexiness is produced as a filmic effect.
Yeah. Okay, Neil, you're fancy filmy McFancy Pants.
Yes.
What's the difference between music that's actually part of the scene and music that's...
It's diegetic sound is sound that comes from within the world of the film, and non-diegetic sound is one that comes from a source that's not within the world of the film.
Yeah, so we've had lots of non-diegetic uses.
This
of
is
like,
the only time this degree has been useful to me.
And I had this moment where I was like, whoever wrote that line, like, maybe they hated the set designer. Like, because that's really mean, because she went to a lot of effort to find this beautiful fabric, and to have, like, one of your main characters be like, ugh, how ugly is this? Am
it's
I
like
right?
A werewolf. Who says doesn't look like a werewolf?
I'm sorry, according to, like, the werewolves you've seen elsewhere?
In other movies?
It doesn't look like a werewolf.
It is like...
How dare he be creative?
It is less convincing than Michael J. Fox in Teen Wolf.
The actors spent quite a lot of time underwater filming these scenes. There was an underwater green room so that they could go under the water and then come back up and watch the scenes that had just been filmed so they could adjust their performance. Apparently, Danny Radcliffe spent so much time underwater that he qualified for, like, a diving certificate afterwards. I mean, all of which is just total film nerdery appropriate to Film Nerd Weekly. But then when I saw the actual scene, I just thought, they might as well have just had some Muppets, filmed it behind a glass tank.
The mer people, especially, looked like Harry was swimming around in front of a computer screensaver. The director was like, okay, so this movie is like a sexual coming of age movie, so let's just make every scene about dicks.
You'll provide an actual reading of the scene, would you?
Are you going to put in hooting every time you mention owls?
Every time.
Every
single time.
Even when I mention owls?
Every single time, Neil.
Wow. Yeah. Owls, wolves,
cats.
Yep, the night bus.
Gonna be a owls, wolves, cat, night bus.
A rich sound tapestry. You're welcome, Marcel.
A cornucopia of sound, dear listeners.
Thanks so much, dear listeners, for joining me for episode 12.5 of Witch Please. P.S. If anybody can figure out the secrets to our esoteric numbering system, I will give you a shiny Twitter star. You can stream the rest of our episodes at owitchplease.ca or subscribe on any podcatcher you like. You should probably also go onto iTunes, though, and leave us a rating or a review. Flora K. Pagan and Scriptorium Girl left us reviews last month, and if we didn't already love them, we definitely would now. Special thanks, as always, to our erstwhile tech support, Trevor Chow Fraser, and also to everyone hanging out with us on Twitter. That's Yeg Nerdlist, Naomi K. Ray, V. Pilar, Neil Politan, It's Just Roar, Aaron Emily Ann, Andrew Bretz, Prof. K. Prince, Karinasaurus, Escaletly, Red or MC1R, Smarakuya, Tiana Pix, P.H. Derrett, Mom Streeter, University of Calgary Faculty of Arts, Tri Ceratop, Laddie Arnold, Jenny B., Ravishly, DeBeckel, Kat Manica, Dear Alina, Tracy B., Hater Pet, Emily Hoven, Terry Lee McGarry, C. Hastings 25, E. Jarrett, Matt Domville, To Politicize, F.K. Pagan, Helen F. Johnson, A. Oakenshield, Kirsten Ashley B., Lou Forrestel, Gesticulates, Liz Shazi, Astrez, No Theory, No Cry, Guts Magazine, Anne Fine, Books and Sundry, El Bourgon, Liba Jen, Scriptorium Girl, Falangiumo, probably said that one wrong, Monica Jean YYC, Ms. Laura Lipstick, Plump Pucker, Matt L.A. Schneider, L.M. Schechter, T. Walker, Lala Toadstone, L. Sub, Sarah Martinez, Bahar O, Seen and Heard Yeg, Mara Dithering, Emily Gadabout, Khaleesi's and Amazon's Podcast, My Book Jacket, I Can So Do Random, Sophie Biblio, Ifya S, Leilani GL, Alan Matley, Mariah Mitsuda, Whiteley Rose, Vivian Ye, Jess Nichols AD, Mayus Teapot, Patrick Cragg, Basil, Athena Genevieve, or Genevieve, let me know how you prefer it, Chelsea Chan, Kelsey Elsewhere, and Edmonton Potterwatch, who I totally got to hang out with today and who you'll hear on a future minisode. Our next episode will for sure actually start talking about the last book. But until then, later, witches.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.